From our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord and King of all, grace and peace to you. Amen. As was mentioned earlier in our service, we'll be focusing on our gospel reading for this day. I share with you just the latter part of the reading from the Gospel of Mark, beginning at verse 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. My dear brothers and sisters in our Savior Jesus Christ, pretty much it would depend what report you are reading and when that report was written, whether something is good for you or bad for you. The reports have been out over the years that coffee is good for you. Coffee is bad for you. Not enough coffee is bad for you. Too much coffee is bad for you. Caffeine is bad for you. Caffeine is good for you. Decaf coffee is good for you. Decaf coffee is bad for you. It just depends what the timing of the report is and who's authorizing the report as well. What is it? Is it good or is it bad? Same thing happens with other things. Some will tell you, oh, a glass of wine, especially red wine, is probably good for your health every day. Not too much, in moderation, but a glass. And others will say, oh no, more than 2 glasses a week is much too much. Again, depends when the report was written and who wrote it. And of course, well, the poster child for this one would be eggs, wouldn't it? Oh, eggs are great for you because they're high in protein and all these type of things, no carbohydrates. Oh, eggs are bad for you because they got all that cholesterol in them. It's the egg whites that are good for you, the egg yolks that are bad for you. And it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? And now there's one that's always been on the list, good, bad, and indifferent, and that's salt, sodium chloride. We like salt. We live with it. I mean, think about it. French fries without salt? You know, maybe a dip will take care of that, but not really. Potato chips without salt? You can get unsalted crackers and things, but something's missing. We do know that when people, because of health reasons, have to go on a non-salt diet, it takes a while to adjust, doesn't it? But then again, salt is good for you. We do need a certain amount of salt in our body to help it operate efficiently. Salt is good in these northern states. When winter comes, it takes care of the ice in the roads. We don't like it when they just put sand on the road. It just makes our car dirty and doesn't take away the slipperiness of the ice. Salt is a good thing. Salt can be a bad thing. When Jesus was talking with his disciples, salt was a good thing. It was used to preserve foods well before refrigeration was invented and brought into vogue. It was also used to add flavor and taste. It was used for a variety of reasons. Matter of fact, it was even used in the sacrifices. You were to add salt to the sacrifices and to the various libations that were poured on the sacrifice. Salt was a special gift that you would give to someone. Salt was good. And it is good. Again, in moderation in our diets and the like. But Jesus even tells his disciples more than. He tells them to be the salt of the earth. And that's what we really wish to focus on today. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the ones that make a difference in this world. And to do that, we're going to do what it takes to be the salt of the earth. And not only do what it takes, but we're going to fill ourselves with that salt so that we have ample salt to share with the world. Salt that'll bring them the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now understand this. We hear what Jesus is saying here now. He says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. God isn't talking about mutilation here. This would be obscene to have this. God is a God who would preserve life. He wouldn't have us go around cutting our hands off. But what's he saying? He's saying, do whatever it takes to follow Jesus, to be the salt of the earth. If our hands get us into trouble, he says, then take them away from that situation. Remove them from those things. We think of all the temptations come into our world. We think of all the things that come into our sight, whether it's by video, movies, television, computers. We think about all that stuff that comes in. Our heart is already filled with sin. Our heart already is in opposition to God. And now we take these other things in. What's he saying? Don't look at it. Turn away from it. Go a different way. He says, if your hands get you into trouble, then do something else. He says, there needs to be a concerted effort to follow the Lord, to be salt in this world. The world is looking to us. The world is in desperate need of the salt we have to offer, the salt of the gospel, the purifying salt of God's love for us, that purifying salt that takes away our sins and makes us right with God. Jesus is telling his disciples of all time, you need to be the salt of the world. A salt that will let people see Jesus Christ in us. He says, everyone will be salted. Salt is good, but what if it loses its saltiness? What good is it? You know, some things we tend to take for granted, don't we? I know that the salt shaker is usually, well, it had been pre-COVID and protocols, but it usually had been, there'd been a salt and pepper shaker on the table at every restaurant. And matter of fact, salt is good. We put it on our sweet corn. We put it on our potatoes. We'll put it on our fries and chips, as I've mentioned. We use salt. Matter of fact, I understood that there was a human resource person who would always interview the candidates at lunch. And he observed them, not so much to see if they'll talk with their mouth full of food or they're not going to be real polite or they're going to ask questions or how they're going to behave or how they handle themselves at a dinner setting. One of the things this human resource person's looked at is how they handled the salt shaker. If the food arrived at the table and the first thing they did was grab the salt pepper shaker and start putting the salt on, they already had something or learned something about that candidate. The candidate isn't there to consider all the facts, but just assumes things. Assumes that the food needed salt. It may have been plenty salty. It may have had the finest of spices. But they grabbed the salt shaker without thinking and dumped the salt on. We think about that. How do we use the Word of God? Let's be fair. Do we sometimes take it for granted? Oh, we can go to church. We can watch it online. We can do all these things. And yet, are we really salt? Or are we taking things for granted? And what happens if that salt shaker is empty? Think about all the things we've done assuming things. And how many things should we give up? How many things in our life should we pass on because we know it will not help us be salt in this sinful world? How many programs should be turned off because we know that they're not advocating keeping the sixth commandment, not advocating keeping the fifth commandment, not advocating honoring mother and father and keeping the fourth commandment? How many shows should be turned off? How many magazines shouldn't even have the ability to keep publishing because people would be turning them away when they point out the sins of others and try to make them normal, just assuming this is what everyone does? Now, you see, when we are the salt of the earth, people aren't going to like us for that. People aren't going to look at us and say, oh, wow, look at what they have to offer. No, because you see, salt, as it cleanses, as it makes one clean, sometimes burns too, doesn't it? And it hurts, and people don't like that. Think about how much we see and hear and how many people advocate for sins, to normalize the sins in our life, to normalize things, to say, oh, you can't be opposed to that, even though God is clearly opposed to sin, clearly opposed to the way of life of many people. They want us to accept those sins and make them normal. No, to be the salt of the earth is to point out what is wrong. And when that salt stings, well, that's the law, isn't it? It's the law that's going to sting and say, we've got to do something different. No, we don't lop off our hands and our feet or pluck out our eyes, but we need to make the commitment to our Savior to say, Lord, what you will is what I will. That's what I want to be done. We know what his will is, don't we? With the greatest of love, he came and sacrificed himself for you and me. He took on all the burden, all the punishment, all the shame and humiliation that comes from our sins, and paid for it in full, and then gave us the credit for accomplishing it as if we had done it all. He says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to take the salt of the gospel and share it with the world. Bring some flavor, bring some vitality to this world. Don't be looking at the next generation. That was a hard thing that he was sharing them too, when he had these little ones who believed in him. Don't try and dissuade them from what they know to be true. Don't dissuade them from what the gospel has told them in my word is right and to be followed. He says, if you're going to do that, it would be better for you that a millstone were hung around your neck. And we're talking millstone. We're not talking a small rock. We're talking a large rock that a lot of times would have to have an animal attached to it, and that would grind the grain. He says, put one of those around your neck, something that'll take you to the bottom of the sea and keep you there. It would be better for you. But yet, what do? We let them see things that they shouldn't see. Follow things, and they're being taught things that are saying, oh, this is okay. Even in our Christian homes, are things sometimes overlooked, taken for granted, that these little recepting ears are hearing things they shouldn't hear, words that shouldn't be used, that shouldn't be on the mouth of a Christian. Folks, we need to be the salt of the earth. There's enough other stuff out there that causes problems and pain and heartache. Let us be the salt of the earth, and let us do what it takes. If it means discipline, if it means training, if it means doing things or foregoing things that others are doing, and looking at that and saying, okay, they may seem to be having fun, but that doesn't fit with my walk with the Savior. Too often, sadly, we are walking with Satan and not the Savior, aren't we? We're buying in. The subtle erosion of the sin in this world even gets some of us to collapse and fall. But Jesus is saying, no, here's what you're going to do. You make every effort to be the salt of the earth, doing what it would take to get that work done so that others too might know their Savior. Notice how he said this. If salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with others. I use the illustration of the salt shaker at the restaurant table. Well, you know, if it's empty, it doesn't do anyone any good. Shake it all you want. It's not going to change the flavor of your food there. So what does it have to do? You have to take the lid off. Usually at the end of the day, the people who work the restaurants, even though they're few and far between today, they go through all that and they open them and they pour in more salt to help the next customers who come by. We're a lot like that salt shaker, you know. We're only good when there's salt within us. We get that when God pours his salt into us as well. Daily in his word, as we wander through that wonderful word that tells us, yes, we're sinners, but we're forgiven by the love of Jesus Christ, that tells us how we're to treat our neighbors, love our neighbors as ourselves, how we're to honor God in all that we do and say, how we're to even love our enemies, even though we wouldn't find much in this life to say we'd love them for that, but Christ loved them and gave his life for them. We think of all the ways that we need to fill us up. The salt shaker can't offer salt unless it's filled with it. How difficult it is for us then, huh? To share the salt of God's word when we're not filled ourselves. Filled to overflowing, ready to share it at every opportunity. He says, how can it be made salty again? More salt added. Have salt among yourselves. Share that wonderful gift. Share that gospel message. Have that salt being filling us every day. Go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I've got these temptations. I've got these weaknesses. I've got these flaws. Help me turn away. Give me the strength and power not to look, not to touch, not to see, not to walk there, not to do those things you would not have me do, but to only do those things you would direct me to do. Yes, it's time now for us to resolve to be the salt of the earth. And let's be fair, it needs us. The world needs us to be bold and confident with the salt of Jesus Christ so that they too may live at peace with each other, that we may live at peace with each other, filled with the salt of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anything we would do, well, that would be like leading those who believe in him away. He says, that only deserves the millstone. That only deserves the punishment that sin has coming for it. Oh, Satan never tells us about those consequences, does he? He always talks about the fun that these sins bring to us, the joy of what we're watching and seeing. He never tells us of consequences. But my dear Christian friends, Jesus paid the consequences in full on the cross, so that we, as the salt of this earth, might go out to tell others about his love for them. He tells us in this gospel, as he's told us before, we are to be the salt of the earth, the light in this sin-darkened world. Now, I'll admit, along with everyone else, haven't always done it well, haven't always done it perfectly, haven't always taken every opportunity. But I pray that both for me and for you at home, that you might take on that role of being the salt for this world. The salt that adds a flavor, the flavor of salvation, the flavor of joy, the flavor of hope. The salt that cleanses, that reminds us that our sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. The salt given as a sacrifice to God. As he fills us with this, may we share it. Be the salt of the earth. To do whatever it takes, filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ, till we stand with him in glory. May we all, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be the salt of the earth. Amen. And now may the peace that comes from the salt of the gospel of Jesus Christ ever keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with Jesus in life everlasting. Amen.